All right, guys, if you guys wouldn't mind, if any of you guys are interested, this is our Campus Crusade for Christ ministry. We are actually located here on campus and stuff, so we'll be kind of just holding our Bible studies down here for the next couple of weeks. So if you guys are interested, come on down and join us. Today we actually have a guest speaker, one of our past leaders, who's come back to kind of visit and hang out with us. Agreed to do a Bible study for us, so if you guys wouldn't mind welcoming along with me, Micah, Justin.
All right, Alex. Be happy. All right, Alex. So I'm going to talk today about tattoos. Yeah, I know. Controversial things. I've been getting some slack lately because... I'm speaking it. You can hear me fine.
I don't care. There.
You can hear me fine. Wow. Alex, that's loud. Alex, you need to turn it down. It's going to feed back. I can already hear it feeding back. There we go. Alright, that would work. Alright, I've been getting some feedback. I've been getting some hate mail and crap. Not hate mail, but because I want a tattoo. And a lot of Christians say that tattoos are wrong and sinful. Huh? You can't hear me. And so, I've been getting a lot of feedback. And so a lot of people quote to me Leviticus. You know, the book of the laws and stuff like that. If I can find it. A lot of people quote Leviticus 19:28, where it says... Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. All right, Leviticus 19, verse 28. So a lot of people quote this to me saying, it says in Leviticus 19:28, do not cut your bodies for the dead, and do not mark your skin with tattoos. I am the Lord. The thing about that is, guys, is, first of all, they take it out of context. And text without context is no text at all. They don't quote to me Leviticus 26 through 27, which say, get there. Do not eat meat that has not been drained of its blood. Do not practice fortune telling or witchcraft. Do not trim off the hair of your temples or trim your beards. So basically, these people that come up to me with shaved faces, eating steak medium rare, tell me that I'm sinning because I want a tattoo. But they don't. What they do is they take it out of context. And so, another thing you got to notice back then is there are different types of laws in Leviticus. There are the moral laws, like the Ten Commandments, which we still, for the most part, have to follow today. Then there are the ceremonial laws, which are the laws for the priests and the sacrifices, and which cleanse our sins. Then there are the dietary laws, which animals will make you unclean to the Lord, to approach the Lord. Then there are cultural distinctive laws, which are laws that physically distinguish the nation of Israel from the surrounding nations. All right, now we don't have to practice the ceremonial laws anymore because Christ took care of that for us on the cross. He was the ultimate sacrifice. We no longer have to go out and kill a calf every time we sin. So He took care of that for us. The dietary laws were clearly revoked in Acts 10, 9 through 16. The next day, as Cornelius's messenger, were nearing the town, Peter went up on the flat roof to pray. It was about noon, and he was hungry. But while a meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw the sky open, and something like a large sheet let was let down by its four corners. In the sheet were all sorts of animals, reptiles, birds, and a voice said to him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat them." "No, Lord," Peter declared, "I have never eaten anything that our Jewish laws have declared impure or and unclean." But the voice spoke again, "Do not call something unclean. If God has made it, it is clean." The same vision was repeated three times, and then the sheet was suddenly pulled up to heaven. Peter was very perplexed. What could the vision mean? Just then, a man sent by Cornelius found Simon's house. Standing outside the gate, they asked if a man named Simon Peter was staying there. Meanwhile, as Peter was puzzling over his vision, the Holy Spirit said to him, "Three men have come looking for you. Get up, go downstairs, and go with them without hesitation." So,
what was this?
Sorry, I read past. I lost my place. Don't worry, for I've sent them. So there it clearly states that it's okay to eat other animals now, so we don't have to worry about the dietary laws anymore.
Then there are the cultural distinctive laws.
The laws like tattoos. They also have laws where obviously you couldn't eat steak. That's a dietary law, sorry. But the whole marking of the skin with tattoos, I don't know if I want to say this here, but I just lost the name, but circumcision, they couldn't blend two different fibers together as well. They had to wear, their clothes had to be one single fiber.
And the cultural laws, distinctive laws, is Paul talks about them in Colossians 2,
verse 11. He talks about them twice. Once in Colossians and once in Galatians. And 2:11 says, "When you came to Christ, you were circumcised, but not by a physical procedure. Christ performed a spiritual circumcision, the cutting away of your sinful nature. For you were buried with Christ when you were baptized, and with him you were raised to a new life, because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead."
And then in Galatians it says,
5:6 that, "But we who live by the Spirit eagerly wait to receive by faith the righteousness of God, the righteousness God has promised to us. For we place our faith in Christ Jesus. There is no benefit in being circumcised or being uncircumcised. What is important is faith, experiencing itself in love." So there it talks about how it doesn't really matter anymore whether or not we're circumcised. It's no longer a physical nation set apart. It's of the spiritual realm that we were circumcised. That saying being said, that's why we're allowed to wear two different fibers of clothes. That's why most of our clothes today are cotton, polyfiber blend stuff, and we're allowed to wear.
And
that's one of the reasons that we're not saying you have to get a tattoo if you're a Christian. It just kind of goes in the same, don't be so quick to judge a person just because they want a tattoo. Another thing is, you got to look at the text again. Let's go back to Leviticus 19:28. "Do not cut your bodies for the dead, and do not mark your skin with tattoos." Alright. Why do you think it was put there? Don't worry about it, Lisa. Cool. Cool, I just read it. All right. Why do you think those two were put together? They weren't put together for no random reason, alright? They weren't getting tattoos like we get them today. They weren't getting koi fish on their calves. They weren't getting bunnies on their belly buttons. They were getting satanic ritual tattoos back then. They weren't doing it like we do it today. You couldn't just go down to the corner tattoo shop and get a tattoo of anything you want. Back then it was specific things.
And what also goes along with it is the fact that people say men can't have earrings.
A lot of churches say that it's a sin if a man has an earring and he's going to hell. I've been in a church where they told me that specifically. And those people, I can't remember which verse they used, but it kind of goes along and says don't pierce your body or something like that. But
they never read Exodus chapter 21. I'm not going to go into the verse. It's Exodus chapter 21, 5 through 6. If you want to, that's more for earrings and stuff. Ear piercings for males. But I say this all because it's leaning down to this. Right? Christ says we are the light of the world, right? And we're supposed to go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. How can we do that if we have this holier than thou attitude of saying, I have to dress this way, I have to look this way? Okay, there are a lot of places that I can't go to witness and you can't go to witness. For example, Alex, let's face it, you're not going to be the one going down into Compton preaching. You'd get shot because you don't look like them. And let's face it, I'm not going to be going to the CEOs of the Forbes 400 companies preaching to them because I don't dress in suits. The fact of the matter is, sometimes you have to dress like the people to be able to get them to respond to you. A lot of times they won't listen to you if you're not dressed like them. So it all depends on what culture you were sent to witness to.
The other thing is
we're missionaries, right? We're supposed to be going into all nations. And a lot of things, I hear it all the time in churches, but I never really see any action on it, is the fact that I hear it, churches always say, we're missionaries, right? No matter where you are, you're a missionary. You need to be out there with urgency. I never see anybody going out there witnessing. I love it. I'm in this thing called Chrysalis. Yeah, this thing. Hold on, let me say something like that. As much as I admire Kirk Cameron, I don't really agree with his style of witnessing. I read a study one time where it said it's something like 87% of those people that come to Christ through that type of ministry leave Christ within the first 6 months. They don't follow through. Because there's no constant contact with them. Yeah, there's not a real follow-up. There's no friendship at all. They're just, oh, this stranger told me that I'm going to hell. And so, it's not exactly smart to use scare tactics when you're trying to. Yeah, they are. They're saying, you're going to hell if you don't accept Christ. That's scare tactics. Yeah, but not all people believe in the Ten Commandments. And what they're using is they're saying, it's still a scare tactic, though. They're saying, because you broke these commandments, you're going to hell. Plain about it, unless you accept Christ now, you're going to hell. Yes, they do. Like I said, there's a saying we have in Chrysalis called, it says, make a friend, be a friend, bring that friend to Christ. Okay, the first step is make a friend, right? All right. When I say make a friend, I don't just mean make a friend to people who you think deserve your friendship. Because all people are equal in Christ, and they're all equal in Christ, and they're all equivalent. Each one is equal, a unique creation of God at the same time. Be a friend to everybody and anybody who needs it, not just the people you think deserve it. The second thing is be a friend. Actually be there for that friend. Don't you say, yeah. Thursday? No. Yeah, just Tuesdays. One till two. Actually, alright, and what was that? Be a friend, right? Be a friend. Don't just be there for that friend in the good times. Be there in the hard times. Let's take the disciples for a second. They were friends of Christ, right? Until it got hard. Until stuff started to get a little bit tough in there. However many hours, when he was taken away, they scattered like when you shine a light on roaches. I don't know if you ever noticed that, but they scattered. Actually be there for that friend. Pray for them when they need you. And the third thing was bring that friend to Christ. Don't just introduce that friend to the most important friend you'll ever have in your entire life. The one who inspires you to be you. Introduce them to Christ. Open up that friendship for them to have that grace-like love with Christ and that relationship with Christ. Don't just do it through your words, alright? Because you know what? Words don't work. Actually show it through your actions. Don't be like, if they say, "Can I borrow a buck?" Don't be like, "Yeah, here you go. In Jesus' name, here's a dollar." Don't say it in Jesus' name after every time. Just hand it. Do it. There's a statue, I believe it's in Germany, where during the First World War, the hands got blown away. The hands fell off. The arms, hands came off. And the town was going to pay this artist to come up and fix the statue. And instead of doing that, they asked the artist to put a plaque down at the bottom. "You are the hands and feet of Jesus." And really what that's saying is, since he's not here physically anymore, it's our job to go out there and show by our actions. I don't know how I can stress that enough, because you know what? You guys are all missionaries. We're all missionaries. Whether you're sent to Africa, or Mexico, or China, or Japan, wherever you're sent to, the fact of the matter is, right now, you guys are urban missionaries called to North America. Specifically, the Apple Valley, the high desert region. You guys should be out there every day, showing through your actions. Not through your words, through your actions. Sometimes these things don't work. Outreaches don't work. The thing is to actually get into your communities and show. Don't just stay at home or at school. Alex, I know you're taking time. You're coming out here. You're starting this Christian club, and you're doing great. But not all of us do that. A lot of Christians don't. They just like going on in their normal lives, and they hear this in church every once in a while, and they don't change. They continue to just go in their routine. Actually, change. I'm going to challenge everyone to make that change and actually get involved in your communities, whether it's helping out at the local community center, helping out at the library, and actually show through your... helping out at the college bookstore, whatever. And actually show through your actions that you are a Christian, and this is how Christians act. And I just hate it. I hate these pushy Christians that we always meet. I'm sure you've all met them. These pushy Christians that come up to you and be like, "Hi, I'm Mike. Hi, I'm blah, blah, blah. You should know Christ, because you know what? Christ is great. You know what? Show him. Don't talk about it. Show him." And so that's really what I wanted to stress today. I mean, yeah, I talked about tattoos and earrings a little bit, but it was to get to the main point of the fact that we need to be disciples and missionaries for Christ in our local community. And so that's all I got to say. Okay.